So we go back to history, 1935. Modern our history is not our history. I think we haven't born, eh? Not yet. 1935, April 28th, Low Sunday. That is the Feast of the Divine Mercy. The conclusion of the Jubilee of Redemption, When we went to take part in the celebrations, my heart leapt with joy that the two solemnities were so closely united. I asked God for mercy on the souls of sinners. So she's always praying for sinners. Also I have in mind, also praying always for those people in need, especially those souls in the purgatory. We have to remind them, remember them. Toward the end of the service, when the priest took the Blessed Sacrament to bless the people, I saw the Lord Jesus as he is represented in the image. The Lord gave his blessing, and the rays extended over the whole world. The rays, the two rays. Suddenly, I saw an impenetrable brightness in the form of a crystal dwelling place, woven together from waves of brilliance, unapproachable to both creatures and spirits. Three doors led to this resplendence. At that moment, Jesus, as he is represented in the image, entered this resplendence through the second door to the unity within. It is a triple unity, which is incomprehensible, which is infinity. I heard a voice. The feast emerged from the very depths of my mercy, and it is confirmed in the vast depths of my tender mercies. Every soul believing and trusting in my mercy will obtain it. I was overjoyed at the immense goodness and greatness of my God. I think we need to have humility to believe. Because many theologians, they say, in a picture, how can you have all these graces? You know, Jesus promised to watch the picture of the divine mercy and all the graces coming in. April 29, 1935. On the eve of the exposition of the image, I went with our Mother Superior to visit our confessor, Father Sopoku. When the conversation touched upon the image, the confessor asked for one of the sisters to help make some wraps. Mother Superior replied, "Sister Faustina will help." I was delighted at this, and when we returned home, I immediately set about preparing some greens, and with the help of one of our wards, brought them over. Another person who works at the church also helped. Everything was ready by 7 o'clock that evening, and the image was already hanging in its place. However, some ladies saw me standing around there, for I was more a bother than a help. And on the next day, they asked the sisters what this beautiful image was and what was its significance. Still nobody understand by that time. Surely these sisters would know, they thought, as one of them had helped adorn it the day before. The sisters were very surprised as they knew nothing about it. They just followed, but they don't know what happened. They wanted to see it, and immediately they began to suspect me. They said, "Sister Faustina must certainly know all about it." They don't care, so they never ask. So even the image comes out, they don't know anything. I think keep silence very good, huh? the same as our Virgin Mary, when he was conceived with the child, no? She never revealed what was happening. That's why Joseph was doubting. Whatever happened, she never revealed anything. It's the contact with God only, you know. When he began asking me, I was silent, since I could not tell the truth. My silence increased their curiosity, and I was even more on my guard not to tell a lie and not to tell the truth, since I had no permission to do so. I think that belongs to the church authority to reveal whatever is happening. She just kept the image, the assignment from the Lord to the church, not to other people. That's why she keeps silence. Then they started to show their displeasure and reproach me openly, saying, "How is it that outsiders know about this and we nothing?" It happened many times in the convent. Many people know many things about our convent, and even ourselves don't know what happening. You know, it happens. Various judgments were being made about me. I suffered much for 3 days. But a special power took over in my soul. I was happy to suffer for God and for the souls that have been granted His mercy during these days. Seeing that so many souls have been granted divine mercy these days, I regard as nothing even the greatest suffering and toil, even if they were to continue till the end of the world. She prepared to suffer for the sick of the divine mercy. For it will come to an end while these souls have been saved from the torments that are without end. It was a great joy for me to see others returning to the source of happiness, the bosom of the divine mercy. Seeing Father Sopoko's sacrifice and efforts for this work, I might his patience and humility. So his confessor also suffered. We don't know what happened. Not written. But you can see, whatever is divine belongs to God. We have to offer. So don't tell yourself, God doesn't look at you. He looks at you, He loves you. But He wants to share his suffering. This all costs a great deal, not only in the terms of toil and various troubles, but also of money. And Father Sopoko was taking care of all the expenses. I can see that divine providence had prepared him to carry out this work of mercy before I had asked God for this. Oh, how strange are your ways, O God. And how happy are the souls that follow the call of divine grace. Praise the Lord, my soul, for everything, and glorify His mercy, for His goodness is without end. Everything will pass, but His mercy is without limit or end. And although evil will attend its measure, in mercy there is no measure. This is from the Psalms, eh? Oh my God, even in the punishments you send down upon the earth, I see the abyss of your mercy. For by punishing us here on earth, you freed us from eternal judgment, punishment. Rejoice, all the creatures, for you are closer to God in His infinite mercy than a baby to its mother's heart. Oh God, your compassion itself for the greatest sinners who sincerely repent. The greater the sinner, the greater is right to God's mercy. It's beautiful. Huh? God is so close to us. The more we are sinner, the more we are loved by Him. 1935, May 12th. In the evening, I just about got into bed and I fell asleep immediately. Though I felt the sleep quickly, I was awakened even more quickly. A little child came and woke me up. The child seemed about a year old, and I was surprised he could speak so well. As children of that age either do not speak or speak very indistinctly. The child was beautiful beyond words and resembled the child Jesus. And he said to me, "Look at the sky." And when I looked at the sky, I saw the stars and the moon shining. Then the child asked me, "Do you see this moon and these stars?" When I said yes, he spoke these words to me. "These stars are the souls of faithful Christians, and the moon is the souls of religious. Do you see how great the difference is between the light of the moon and the light of the stars? Such is the difference in heaven between the soul of a religious and the soul of a faithful Christian." And he went on to say that true greatness is in loving God and in humility. Then I saw a soul which was being separated from his body amid great torment. "Oh Jesus, as I am about to write this, I tremble at the sight of the horrible things that bear witness against him. I saw the souls of little children and those of older ones about 9 years of age emerging from some kind of a muddy abyss. The souls were foul and disgusting, resembling the most terrible monsters and decaying corpses. But the corpses were living and gave loud testimony against the dying soul. And the soul I saw dying was a soul full of worlds of applause and honors, the end of which are emptiness and sin. Finally, a woman came out who was holding something like tears in her apron, and she witnessed very strongly against him. Oh, terrible hour, at which one is obliged to see all one's deeds in their nakedness and misery. Not one of them is lost. They will all accompany us to God's judgment. Whatever we have done, go with us." I can find no words or comparisons to express such terrible thing. And although it seems to me that this soul is not damned, nevertheless, its torments are in no way different from the torments of hell. There is only this difference, that they will someday come to an end. So purgatory is nothing, is the same as hell, the suffering. But also, there's a time limit. Someday they will go to heaven, but not hell, never. A moment later, I again saw the child who had awakened me. It was of wondrous beauty and repeated these words to me. "True greatness of the soul is in loving God and in humility." Still, be humble. Many times we are not happy because we are not humble enough, especially when we scold the people, despite the people, and we react. Why? We want to fight back. But humility, you share the shame of Jesus and offer it. That's the joy. That's the peace. I asked the child, "How do you know the true greatness of the souls is in loving God and in humility?" It's 1 year old child, no? "How do you know?" "Only theologians know about such things, and you haven't even learned the catechism." So, How do you know? To this, he answered, I know all things. And with that, he disappeared. But I could no longer get to sleep. My mind became exhausted by thinking about the things I had seen. Oh, human souls, how late you learned the truth. Oh, abyss of God's mercy, pour yourself out as quickly as possible over the whole world, according to what you yourself have said. May 1935. When I became aware of God's great plans for me, I was frightened at the greatness and felt myself quite incapable of fulfilling them. And I began to avoid interior conversation with him. Interior conversation with him, filling up the time with vocal prayer. So it doesn't what Kim silence. Just say the prayer, say the rosary, just keep herself busy, and that's no time for Jesus to talk to her. She's afraid. Too much messages. I did this out of humility, but I soon recognized it was not true humility, but rather a great temptation from the devil. Should want to avoid things, it's not humility. Confront, face, the truth is humility. When on one occasion, instead of interior prayer, I took up a book of spiritual reading, I heard these words spoken distinctly and forcefully within my soul. You will prepare the world for my final coming. These words moved me deeply, and although I pretended not to hear them, I understood them very well, and had no doubt about them. Once begin being tired out of this battle of love with God and making constant excuses on the grounds that I was unable to carry out this task, I wanted to leave the chapel, but some of them force held me back, and I found myself powerless. Sometimes want to escape from whatever God wants to share with us. You know, we are afraid. It was too big, the mission for the whole world, the message for the whole world. How can she, the little sister in a common, she there? She have no strength to do it, she think. Then I heard these words. You intend to leave the chapel, but you shall not get away from me. For I am everywhere. You cannot do anything of yourself, but with me you can do all things. That's what we trust. Believe. God is also giving you different messages. We are called to follow him. When in the course of the week, I went to see my confessor, Father Sopoko, and revealed the condition of my soul to him, especially the fact that I was avoiding interior conversation with God. I was told that I must not shrink from interior conversation with God, but should listen intensely to the word he speaks to me. I followed my confessor's advice, and at the first meeting with the Lord, I fell at Jesus' feet and, with a grief-striking heart, apologized for everything. Then Jesus lifted me up from the ground and set me beside him and let me put my head on his breast, so that I could better understand and feel the desires of his most sweet heart, the same way as John the post, you know, at time of the Last Supper, he put his head on the breast of Jesus. Then he spoke these words to me, "My daughter, have fear of nothing. I'm always with you. All the adversaries will harm you only to the degree that I permit them to do so. You are my dwelling place and my constant repose. For your sake, I will withhold the hand which punishes. For your sake, I bless the earth." At that very moment, I felt some kind of fire in my heart. I feel my senses deadening and I have no idea of what is going on around me. I feel the Lord's gaze pierced me through and through. I'm very much aware of his greatness and my misery. An extraordinary suffering pervades my soul, together with a joy I cannot compare to anything. I feel powerless in the embrace of God. I feel that I am in him, and that I am dissolved in him like a drop of water in the ocean. The same feeling as Teresa of Lisieux. She felt herself like a drop of water fall into the water, into the ocean, disappear. Only God in her. I can express what takes place within me. After such interior prayer, I feel strength and power to practice the most difficult virtues. I feel this night for all things that the world holds in esteem. With all my soul, I desire silence and solitude. So practice this virtue, silence and solitude. Most of the time you are silent, nobody is around you, maybe some kids, you know. You're not mixed with too many people during the day, in the kitchen, whatever you are. Remain silent and solitude. Not loneliness, with the Lord. Oh, thank you. So, silence and solitude. My hermit, living in the desert, staying only with the Lord. You are in the world, but not of the world. May 1935, during 40 hours devotion, I saw the face of the Lord Jesus in the secret host, which was exposed in the monstrance. Jesus was looking with kindness at everyone. I often see the child Jesus during Holy Mass. He is extremely beautiful. He appears to be about 1 year old. Once when I saw the same child during Mass in our chapel, I was seized with a violent desire and an irresistible longing to approach toward the altar and take the child Jesus. So beautiful child in the altar. She just wanted to come to embrace her, to kiss her, to kiss him. At that moment, the child Jesus was standing by me on the side of my kneeler, and he leaned with his two little hands against my shoulder. Gracious and joyful. His look deep and penetrating. But when the priest broke the host, Jesus was once again on the altar and was broken and consumed by the priest. So before the communion, Jesus went to visit him with the Lila, no? And hold his hand on her, on the soldier. You might say it's imagination, but really God loves us in such a way And we are always, our mind is always wandering everywhere except with the Lord. So today, during Mass, as Sister Faustina, have the same concentration in the Lord. Maybe you haven't, we won't see baby Jesus, but still Jesus there. Stay with him. I think he is all the same, comes to you and put his hand on your shoulder. And you just walk around, run around. What can you do? You're not aware of what was happening. You don't have the heart. You know, like John the Apostle, stay, hang your head on his breast. After Holy Communion, I saw Jesus in the same way in my heart and felt him physically in my heart throughout the day. Important, keep Jesus throughout the day, not just 2 seconds, and then continue, stay with. Unconsciously, a most profound recollection took possession of me, and I did not exchange a word with anyone. I avoided people as much as I could, always answering questions regarding my duties, but beyond that, not a word, I mean during the daytime. But we, not even after the Mass is ended and go in peace, we are always already getting our things and preparing and, you know, wondering where to go, which floor, going out, walking today, and then things, all the things of the future. Stay with, quiet, silent, in solitude. As if, stay with Faustina. Yesterday I saw, 2 days ago I was with